Welcome to NACSW's Podcast of the Month. Our podcast program makes available 20-minute samples of recordings of a wide variety of NACSW presentations and discussions on topics of particular interest to Christians in social work. Our Podcast of the Month program features a new sample podcast every 30 days for your listening pleasure. In addition, you can access the full-length version of this and all NACSW podcasts at no cost simply by becoming a member of NACSW or by ordering a copy of this podcast at a reasonable cost on NACSW's online bookstore. We hope you enjoyed today's sample podcast.
Okay, we are ready to jump in. Welcome to tonight's panel presentation. I'm Rick Kaminskis. I work with NACSW. How fortunate and how grateful we are tonight to have joining us for this panel presentation leaders of some of the leading social work associations in our profession, including NASW, CSWE, and the Society for Spirituality and Social Work, and NACSW. Tonight's session will be focused on how our various social work professional associations can work together on something that we all have in common, something we all feel strongly about, and that is how can we encourage increased spiritual and religious sensitivity and competency within the social work profession. Again, goals of all four of our social work associations. To introduce our panel speakers, I'd like to ask Kesslyn to give introduction to the different panelists, and we'll be off and running.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody.
Hello.
That was pretty good. In church, we usually have to ask two or three times before everybody responds, but not tonight. Thank you for giving me this. This is a wonderful set of panelists, isn't it?
Yeah.
Awesome. Like, I just want us to welcome them before I introduce them. I'm going to read each person's bio, and then we'll officially welcome them with even more love and appreciation, right? Let me first introduce Dr. Angelo McLean. Dr. McLean, on March 7th, 2013, the National Association of Social Workers named Angelo McLean, PhD, LICSW, its new Chief Executive Officer to lead efforts that grow and support the social work profession in the United States. He succeeds Elizabeth Clark, PhD, ACSW, MPH, who left the organization since 2001. Dr. McLean joins NASW after serving 6 years as commissioner for the Massachusetts Department of Children and Families, a position appointed by Governor Deval Patrick. While there, he oversaw a budget of $850 million and a workforce of, that's a lot of money, and a workforce of 3,500 employees, that's a lot of people, to address reports of abuse and neglect for the state's most vulnerable children, partnering with families to help them better nurture and protect their children. Prior to that position, Dr. McLean was vice president and executive director of Value Options New Jersey, where he built and oversaw administrative, clinical, and quality management program infrastructures that increased access to behavioral health services for children and youth, including those in the juvenile justice system. As vice president of network management and regional operations for the Massachusetts Behavioral Health Partnership, Dr. McLean developed and maintained a provider network capable of delivering high quality, responsive services to 450,000 Mass Health members. That's a lot of people. Dr. McLean grew up in Texas and is a distinguished alumnus of Cal Farley's Boys Ranch. He holds a Bachelor's of Science in Social Work from West Texas State University, a Master of Science in Social Work from the University of Texas at Arlington, and a PhD in Social Work from Boston College Graduate School of Social Work. He is also an adjunct faculty member in the Urban Leadership Program at Simmons College Graduate School of Social Work. Among his most recent honors are, in 2013, he was the Betsy R. Rosenbaum Award. He received the award for excellence in public child welfare. 2012, he received the Fatherhood Engagement Leadership Award. And again in 2012, he was the co-chair for the state of Massachusetts White Ribbon Day to End Domestic Violence. We welcome you, Dr. Angelo McLean. Thank you. Dr. Darla Spence Coffey. She's the president and the chief executive officer of the Council on Social Work Education. CSWE is a nonprofit national association representing more than 2,500 individual members, I'm one of them, as well as nearly 750 graduate and undergraduate programs of professional social work education. Founded in 1952, this partnership of educational and professional institutions, social welfare agencies, and private citizens is recognized by the Council of Higher Education Accreditation as the sole accrediting agency for social work education in this country. Through its many initiatives, activities, and centers, CSWE supports quality social work education to ensure that students are able to meet the current and future challenges of all Americans and provides opportunities for leadership and professional development so that social workers can play a central role in achieving the profession's goals of social and economic justice and influencing social policy. Prior to her appointment at CSWE, Dr. Coffey was a professor of social work and the associate provost and dean of graduate studies at Westchester University of Pennsylvania. In that capacity, Dr. Coffey provided leadership and academic program development at the graduate and undergraduate levels, curriculum and academic policies, assessment of student learning, transfer articulation, accreditation, and faculty development. Preceding this administrative role, Dr. Coffey taught for several years in the baccalaureate and graduate social work programs at Westchester University. We welcome Dr. Darla Spence Coffey. Dr. Michael Sheridan received her MSW and PhD from Virginia Commonwealth University School of Social Work. Her practice experience includes direct practice, administration, and program development in health, mental health, juvenile and adult criminal justice, and family service settings. She has been a social work educator for 24 years, teaching at Virginia Commonwealth University and the University of Northern Iowa prior to coming to the National Catholic School of Social Services at Catholic University, where she currently teaches courses on diversity and social justice, international social development, research methods, transpersonal theory and spirituality, and conflict resolution and peace building. Her scholarship includes both empirical and theoretical writings in the areas of spirituality and social work practice and education, family caregiving, substance abuse, child abuse and neglect, and other trauma, the needs and the experiences of incarcerated persons, homelessness and mental illness, and research methodology. In addition, Dr. Sheridan has developed several survey instruments and measurement tools in the areas of spirituality, which have been used by a number of researchers both nationally and internationally. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Her professional service includes involvement in the Council on Social Work Education, the National Association of Social Workers, the Society for Spirituality and Social Work, the National Institutes of Health, various community organizations, and editorial service for 18 different scholarly journals and publications. Dr. Michael Sheridan, we welcome you. Dr. Rick Hamid's case. Did I pronounce that correctly? Yes. Rick. Rick has received a PhD, an MSW, and a MAR, and he's been the executive director of the North American Association of Christians in Social Work since 1997. How fortunate we've been, right?
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
University, the University of Connecticut School of Social Work, Yale Divinity School, and Wheaton College, Dr. Humyets?
Almost
is not good enough.
Humyets.
Humyets. I practiced too, I really did. Hamid's Case, Dr. Hamid's Case, research and scholarship, getting better, grace, are in the areas of spirituality in the workplace, the ethical integration of Christian faith and social work practice, and faith-based social services. He has authored and co-authored several articles and book chapters on these and related topics. One more time. Dr. Hamid? Was it perfect? Rick. That's good, I can pronounce that. Rick worked as an adjunct professor of social work at Nyack College and also as an assistant professor of social work at Calvin College from 2006 to 2008. Prior to working for NACSW, he was a senior vice president at ARI of Connecticut, whose mission is to provide homes, jobs, and opportunities for people with disabilities and their families. One more time. Dr. Hamietz?
Okay.
That was like 5 steps forward and 4 steps back. Rick has several previous practice experiences in administering clinical, case management, quality assurance, family support, staff training, and management information services for people with disabilities like mental retardation. I try, but we love you and we welcome you too. So we really do have a panel of wonderful experts, don't we? People who have provided service in our profession for a very long time. So again, I just want to thank you for coming. Really, thank you for being here. This is wonderful. There are a few questions that I'm going to ask, specific questions for each person sitting here, each of our panelists, and I'll start with NASW. The first question is religiosity and spirituality a natural fit for social workers? If so, what does NASW do to highlight and encourage this fit?
You'd like for me to answer that?
Please.
Yes.
Repeat the question.
That concludes my remarks. I told you guys I'd leave you lots of time. Thank you for the invitation, the opportunity to be here and to participate in this important discussion. Social work is a profession of passion. And most of us have a reason for getting into this profession that relates back to some passion that we have. And oftentimes that passion, it's got an element of spirituality or religiosity as a component of that. And many of us were told by our elders that, we're going to do something with our lives, do something that's going to help others. And in terms of, is religion, religiosity, and spirituality a fit for social workers? Absolutely yes. And I'll try to share a few things that kind of highlight that as I go through my comments. I thought you were going to ask me 2 questions at once because I kind of wanted to respond to 2 questions, but I'll answer the first question. My answer on the second question is going to be really short. I want to start by I didn't have a title for my thoughts, but I begin to think if I had a title, I probably would it'd be something like, expanding or sort of expanding the acknowledgement and recognition of spirituality within the social work community. But I didn't come up with a title, so that's just a thought I had. I just want to start out talking about grace. But for the grace of God, go I. And I know that's an expression that many of you know. It's a saying that we'll say oftentimes. I can remember my pastor as growing up, the Reverend I.H. Henderson Jr., would talk a lot about, but for the grace of God, go I. And he actually would often reference, I was on the street today and I walked by a certain person who was asking for a certain thing, but for the grace of God, go I. And it was this way of teaching us that, oftentimes we feel like we're blessed, and we feel like we're special. And yes, we are blessed, and yes, we are special, but the translation of that is not that we're better than. The translation of that is, yes, we're special enough to make something of ourselves. And I was actually able to share that this summer. You mentioned I was an alumni of Cal Farley's Boys Ranch in Texas, a proud alumni, and it's a residential group home, the best way to describe it. It doesn't give it justice because it's 41,000 acre ranch with the cattle and the pigs and the chickens and the hogs and all those things that go with it. They were having their 75th anniversary, and I was asked to come out and be the graduation speaker. So I was actually able to share some, you know, with the guys and say, you know, 35 years ago I was sitting where you're sitting. And today I'm the head of a big national association. So if I can do that, you can do that. And that and that was the first time I ever really acknowledged that I was special. And the only reason why I acknowledged it that night, because I wanted them to be able to tap into their specialness. And I shared that with them. But when we think about, but for the grace of God go I, we all know that it's not something we earn. We all know that it's God's favor and God's mercy that he bestows upon us. We know that the things that we achieve in our lives, that we can't sort of give ourselves full credit. You know, I've been traveling in this country encouraging social workers to pat themselves on the back, because oftentimes we don't give ourselves enough credit. And that acknowledgement that, you know, there's something greater than me that's allowing me to do and be what I am. Exhibit A. Here's a book that was recently published by NASW this summer, and it's a book entitled Spirituality, Helping, you know, Black Helping Traditions. And there's another book I actually was going to bring, I didn't bring, that talks about the African-American marriages. And in that book, the African-American marriages, it highlights a marriage of Herbert and Zelma Fisher from New Bern, North Carolina. They were married for 86 years until the time of Herbert's death in 2011. And when Ms. Fisher was asked what was the secret to their marriage and to their longevity, she said there was no secret, that it was only through the grace of God that they were able to stay together that long. And we can imagine that's probably true. You know, you guys know the scripture, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace we have been saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. And you know that the King James version of that finishes with, not of works, lest any man should boast. So by the grace of God, you know, we've come to this profession. We've come to the achievements that we have. I want to segue a little bit and talk about some survey data. And I won't get too deep into it, but through some recent survey of direct practitioners affiliated with NASW, two-thirds of those practitioners said they believe that social workers need to be more knowledgeable about spirituality. Most of the direct practitioners in that survey reported receiving minimal training in spirituality during their graduate educations. So two-thirds saying, I'd like to have more knowledge. Most, somewhere between 60 and 70%, I'll say, were saying they only received minimal training as part of their education. And it's true, I can remember when I was an undergraduate, I happen to have a BSW, MSW, PhD, all in social work. When I was getting my BSW, there weren't any classes on religion. So I took, you know, why I took it, I can't tell you, I took Romans as an elective, I took Revelations as an elective. I could have picked some easier books. But so oftentimes folks who are in social work don't get that, and so you try to get it through other avenues. And then, and part of what this discussion and your association is about is, you know, how do you how do you address that gap? You know, folks are saying, I have a gap in my knowledge, I want to know more, and folks are saying, I didn't get that in sort of my graduate education. Obviously, there's opportunities for associations like us to collaborate and figure out how we can, you know, collectively, I don't know how many members we all have, but collectively, we've got upwards of 150, 160, 170 members, so that's a big reach in terms of being able to reach folks. We know we want to integrate religiosity and spirituality into our practice models. I had the experience as a commissioner of child welfare in Massachusetts about 6 years ago now. We implemented a new case practice model, and in that case practice model, we embedded within it assessments around, if you're going to have a holistic understanding of the family you're working with, you need to have some aspect of how does spirituality and religion, what role does that have in their lives? So actually embedded that in that process. And we had to go through a process of talking to people about why that was there, why it was important, and we had to bounce up against some, you know, the institutional barriers that would say, no, we don't want to go there. But we were able to go there in a way that resonated with folks. And the good thing is we built a case practice model that was grounded in good old-fashioned social work values and principles, so it really fit what we were doing. I think another way of addressing the knowledge gap is really building a culture within the social work community that basically says we need to fully embrace this notion of, if we're going to have a holistic understanding of folks, we need to have it there. I think we need to have some definitions as well. I talked to some of my friends in preparation. I was telling Rick I was actually much more prepared for this presentation 4 weeks ago. And all day I've been intimidated and worried that, you know, just, I don't know what I was worried about, but that wasn't perceiving that I was doing a good job. But the friends I talked to, they said, well, you know, when you talk about spirituality, you know, maybe that's cool, maybe that's a good thing. When you talk about religion, you know, it's a big slow down that comes up. And folks are saying, you know, so well, tell me about that, what's up with that? And they're saying, you know, religion, it feels prescriptive. Religion has not always been inclusive of everyone all the time. Religion sort of conveys this limitation on people's rights. So people are saying, that religion is resonating with them. I asked them about, what about spirituality? So that resonates with me a little bit more, because that's not organized, that's not prescribed, it doesn't have a set of rules. So that's interesting. So, you know, part of what we could collectively do is have a really good working definition of spirituality, a really good working definition of religion. What's the overlap between the two? I mean, obviously, well, maybe not obviously, we might all have different definitions of it. But I'll just say for me, you know, spirituality is sort of this connectiveness to what we perceive to be sacred, or what we perceive to be transcendent, or what we perceive to be the truth. And it's interesting, if you look up the word truth in the dictionary, most dictionaries, truth and trust are right there with each other. And it's something to think about. And for me, it's always like, well, trust the truth. But, you know, having a comment, you know, what are these two definitions, and what's the overlap, and is spirituality something that's a universal human impulse that no matter who we're working with has that as a part of their being? That's a question. And then religion, how does that play with the folks we're working with? I would like to see a day when, you know, it's just sort of common that we would say, yes, if you're going to have optimal service provision, that we would fully embrace this notion of spirituality and religiosity, that's a piece of our assessment, that's a piece of our service provision that we have to include. And we think about assessments. For me, assessment is this notion of a continuous, ongoing understanding of that person, that family, who they are, their worldview. And how can we keep having that just kind of growing? And how can we have aspects of understanding a person from a religious perspective and a spirituality perspective, how we can help have that augment the other tools that we have. And when you get right down to it, there's been some research that said most of the clients we worked with, they want to have their spirituality and religious beliefs integrated into the therapeutic conversation. And oftentimes, I know when I was practicing, when that didn't come up as part of the routine work I was doing with folks, usually when we're doing that termination, if I was doing a good termination, it came up in this. And oftentimes it came up with, what is your faith? But other times it came up with saying, we didn't really get into my faith. I want to share that with you. How am I doing on time?
You're nearing it.
Oh, I was hoping I was almost out of time. So I'll just be...
Well, but the second question was surrounding collaborations and how we can collaborate and in what areas, and so I think you're touching on some of that. So please.
I think areas for collaboration is to... I got that on this piece of paper. Where's that? I think around definitions, I think the big thing we can collaborate on is building a culture within the social work community that recognizes and fully embraces that spirituality and religion are important aspects of the people, the families, communities we work with. And then to sort of support that we have working definitions, and particularly definitions that differentiate between spirituality and religion, because a lot of times around religion, people begin to shut down. And we know a lot of not so good things have been done in the name of religions over the history of our time on this planet. Then to have what's the purpose and goals of that, really the purpose and goal would be for holistic treatment for better results. Because if we've got a response that's more grounded with who a person is, we profess to be, start where a person's at, we can get better outcomes. And then that ultimately, the penultimate thing that could come from collaboration is a set of joint standards that could be issued together in terms of this is how you incorporate this in terms of good practice.
Thank you for listening today to this 20-minute sample of NACSW's Podcast of the Month featured selection. Just a reminder that you can access the full-length version of this and all NACSW podcasts at no cost by simply becoming a member of NACSW or by ordering a copy of this podcast at a reasonable cost on NACSW's online bookstore. We also hope that you will consider participating in additional NACSW activities and events, including NACSW's upcoming convention in the fall, our quarterly audio conference workshops, which provide CEUs accredited by the Association of Social Work Boards, and our online continuing education program. Also, we invite you to join NACSW's Facebook group or our Facebook fan page. For additional information about these and other NACSW benefits and services, you can go to our website at www.nacsw.org. Thanks again for listening in to our podcast session today.